The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. Your hosts are Avatars Peggy Litt and David Cope, who are introducing a new and fresh living spirituality, which will stretch you and cause you to question everything you've learned on your spiritual journey. Get ready for a provocative discussion that will challenge many of your most cherished spiritual beliefs. Now, here are your hosts, The Avatars, Peggy and David.
Hello. This is Peggy and David. We would like to welcome you to our show, The Avatars, Ushering in a New Beginning. Each week we talk about our life-changing experience of living from the heart. Thank you for joining us today. We'll be talking about context.
Thanks, Peggy. Every week I like to introduce at the beginning of the show the definition of avatars. Because avatars can mean different things to different people. And Peggy and I chose to use the term avatars because for us the definition of an avatar is somebody who has the capacity to raise the consciousness of other people. And if you think about it, we've been told that the consciousness of the earth is changing. So one of the important things that must happen is there has to be people on Earth at this time that can raise the consciousness of other people. Now, of course, lots of people claim that they raise the consciousness of other people, and that's very, very fine. But Peggy and I have talked about in our shows the characteristics of expanding consciousness that we've experienced that because of our 10-year journey of expanding consciousness. We don't go around, Peggy and I don't go around telling everybody that we're avatars. We're just two normal people that Peggy's from South Dakota on a farm. I grew up in Maine, and my mother's side of the family were lobstermen and fishermen. And we both come from very normal lifestyles and backgrounds and feel very grounded in the experience of ourselves. But we call ourselves avatars because it's a way of people understanding the experience of ourselves, that Peggy and I know ourselves through our journey over the last 10 years, that not only is our consciousness expanding and growing, but because it's experiential, we're able to teach other people how to raise their own consciousness through what we're now calling the experience of living from the heart.
Everything that we're going to talk about today has unfolded from within us. We don't use teachers or read books or go to seminars. And we're not saying it's the only way. We're just saying that it is the way that works best for us. And we do realize there is truth at every level of consciousness.
That's very important for Peggy and I to share each week, that there is truth at every level of consciousness, because some of our listeners might think that we're arrogant or egotistical saying that we're avatars and that somehow that what we're teaching is better or higher consciousness than something else. But in the experience of Peggy and I have had in our expanding consciousness, we've gone through so many different levels of truths that keep changing over 10 years. We're very aware that in the experience of consciousness, there is truth at every level. And as we've discussed in our show, in a belief of the week, there is no ultimate truth. A truth would mean that somehow that there's a the most that a person can expand into and to experience their self. So when you realize that in the living from the heart and the possibilities of expanding into yourself and the evolution of your own truth, which is ultimately found within yourself, you realize there is no ultimate truth. So it makes a lot more sense when you can understand that there is truth at every level of consciousness. Each week, I also talk a little bit about Peggy's in my consciousness and the challenge of discerning truth on a spiritual journey. Last week, I talked about some of the numbers of people listening to the show and that the average person is listening to our show 10 or 15 minutes. And that doesn't account for all the people in our group that listen to the show and raise up the numbers. So we realize that for a lot of our audience, they tune in just enough to realize that there's this, sounds like there's not something in this that they want to listen to. And it's perfectly understandable, and Peggy's going to share a little bit about that. But I do want you to know that because Peggy and I are avatars, or as avatars, our consciousness is a thousand on a scale of 1 to 1,000. And because we experience ourselves and grow into the experience of ourselves, the material that we are talking about also would calibrate at 1,000. So, for example, if you have a consciousness that is 350, for example, on a scale of 1 to 1,000, which is the consciousness of the concept of the secret or the law of attraction, that's the material that you can teach is only at the level of your own consciousness. Doesn't mean that that's a secret and the law of attraction isn't wonderful and helps lots of people, but it means that there's a deeper understanding that can't be articulated at that level of consciousness. So I asked Peggy to share a little bit about why people can't hear us. Did she think that people tune in for 10 or 15 minutes and have the opportunity to learn something that is very transformative and calibrates at 1,000, that they're not hearing what we're doing and staying tuned in? And Peggy's going to share about that.
Well, all levels of consciousness uses very similar words. Even you hear living from the heart from different levels of consciousness. And what my experience has been is words are context. It's the depth and experience that we have of those words that is such a wide range. And the depth and experience we have is because of our consciousness. But people can't realize that because their awareness isn't based on comparison. If you have the same awareness your whole life, you can't know the different range of experiencing different words. So I really want everyone to know that there is so much more to the experience of you. We might be saying the same words, but what we're hoping to get through to you is the depth in the experience of those words can be so different than what you're experiencing now. And everyone experiences words differently based on how we feel about ourselves with those words. Words are context and can be experienced either positively or negatively. Like the word love, if you've had good experiences with love, it will bring warm feelings to you. But if you've been hurt numerous times by love, that word is very painful. Same with money. I mean, it can even be as simple as a word with horse. We all experience words and everything uniquely different from each other.
And to use the word horse?
only because I got bucked off by one.
Yeah, so what? And so how can somebody have a positive experience of the word horse and somebody have a negative experience of the same word?
Well, horses are beautiful creatures, and they have a beauty when you see them running or jumping, you know, but the thought of me getting on a horse and riding it fast is, if I experience myself as fearful.
Yeah. As opposed to somebody who is very comfortable on a horse and can gallop and...
You know, I like horses from a distance, kind of, just like the ocean.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So that's a great example of what we're going to talk about today in this episode is context and realizing words themselves have no inherent meaning, that we give words their meaning by the experience that we have of them based upon our life experiences. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. I want to talk about the relationship of consciousness in context, because today we're going to talk about a concept called context. And I was sharing with Peggy and said, how do we make this esoteric concept, context, have meaning so that our listeners can get value and benefit of why it's important to understand the concept of context? So I thought I'd start a little bit in this section, because this is the section I like to talk about consciousness. And one of the things I realized 4 or 5 years ago, and I want to remind you that over the last 10 years, Peggy's and I's consciousness keeps expanding. So what I might understand in 1 year or to the next may be totally different. And the depth of my awareness keeps increasing. So I may understand something this year or this month that I couldn't grasp and didn't understand earlier on in my journey. And that's the beauty of expanding consciousness. And as Peggy said, everything that we're sharing on this show has unfolded within ourselves, because we don't read books, we don't have seminars. Peggy doesn't have a guru that's taught her everything she knows. And it's all, this is just expanding within ourselves. So the relationship to consciousness in context is very interesting, because if you imagine that everything that we exist starts from a seed, you know, a seed could be as something as complex as the universe and the Big Bang. It all started from a small point of mass that expanded into the universe. Or even the seed of an idea, you know, what I've understood is that everything starts as a seed, and a seed is the potentiality of what something can be. Originally, I thought, well, then consciousness must become next, and then context after that. But I realized, as in one of my awarenesses, that context comes before consciousness. We're going to talk about it today, which means without context, without something that can define the experience, then consciousness doesn't exist independent of the experience created by context. Now, I know this is kind of an esoteric concept, but I like to share this at this time in the show, because for those listeners who are deciding whether they should listen or not, you're going to learn things about consciousness that you can't learn anywhere else, because of Peggy's and I's experience of expanding consciousness has given us a depth of awareness. So what does this mean if seed, context, consciousness? What does it mean in experience of consciousness? What that means in a simple way is the belief that there's some cosmic consciousness, or that the universe is conscious or has a consciousness, is a belief that is transcended when you realize that nothing is conscious within itself until it's given context. And we're going to talk a little bit more in this in the second section, but when you understand context, you can begin to realize that the belief in a cosmic consciousness or universe that is aware, there is no inherent awareness that exists in the universe other than the experience that context gives us. And that's been an important understanding because it changes my understanding of everything I experience, especially myself, which made me understand that the experience of consciousness that I thought was me is really not myself, because I don't exist independent of context. So I know that's a little esoteric, but...
So does that mean, David, that if we no longer were fed context, we wouldn't even know we exist?
Yes, that's what it means, is the self that we think is conscious doesn't exist independent of the context that allows us to know the experience of ourself. And that was pretty profound and very unsettling when I first realized that the self that I was experiencing doesn't exist independent. That, you know, we've talked a little bit about the soul and the spirit and how in this journey we outgrow that concept and that belief, because when you live from the heart and you become complete within yourself, there is no separation that would allow one to believe that there is a part of you that is more or greater than, which is the soul or spirit. So the realization that the self that I know myself as, which I think is conscious, doesn't exist independent of the context of my experience was pretty profound.
Well, and that makes total sense, though. You know, we talked about the men in the service and how war gave them context to an aspect of them that they didn't know themselves as before. So that makes total sense.
Yeah. But again, it was pretty scary to realize that I don't exist. The experience of myself does not exist independent of the context that allows me to know myself.
Today's show is a general overview of context and why it's so important to living from the heart. Living from the heart becomes a way of life with commitment. And if you need any supportive materials, please email us at peggy'sheart@q.com. This is Peggy and David sharing with you today about the transforming experience of living from the heart. We'll be right back after a short break.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Do you or a loved one suffer from the debilitating experience of grief? The experience of grief may be one of the most misunderstood experiences of mankind. Grieffree.org is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate the public in a revolutionary grieving process called healthy grieving. Traditional grieving processes are primarily used as support systems to help people cope with the painful experience of loss. The healthy grieving process is a healing system that deals directly and effectively with the underlying cause of grief. Unlike conventional grieving processes, which deal with the loss of the relationship, healthy grieving deals with the loss of one's self-identity. This radical shift in perspective allows individuals to make rapid and transformational changes that move them quickly through the grieving cycle into the experience of love and acceptance. Visit grieffree.org for more details and to learn how to take back your life from the painful experience of grief.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you're listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Listening to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. To connect with our program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send any questions you may have in an email to peggy'sheart@q.com. Let's return to The Avatars, Peggy and David, who have been sharing how our spiritual beliefs can inhibit our experience of living from the heart. Now get ready for more intriguing discussion on a radical new way of experiencing yourself and life.
Welcome back. This is Peggy and David, the hosts of The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. Today we're talking about context.
Thank you, Peggy. In our break, I was just talking to Peggy about something I forgot to mention. So, and the concept of consciousness. One of the things that we don't realize is that as humans, we project our own experience out into the world, into the universe. So because we believe that we're conscious, because we call it an awareness, we project out into the universe that the universe itself has an awareness. But what, from what I understand in my experience, since the self that I know doesn't exist independent of context, then that means that the universe is not conscious. It's like saying that a tree is conscious, that it has an awareness of its, or that the universe is conscious. We want to believe it is because the way the mind works is we project our own experience as humans onto everything else, into the universe, when that's not the case, because we're humans and we have a unique experience unto ourselves.
Well, and when I go out into life now, everybody's so nice because I have less junk in me that I'm projecting out onto them. And I just go, oh my God. I mean, I can't get near a door and people are running to it to open it for me. And it's,
are they nice looking guys? Or?
But my whole days are like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people's whole experience of life is hardship and not nice things, you know.
Thank you. So we're going to talk about context, and I'm going to see if we can make this, if you listen through this segment, by the end we'll make it all make sense and why context is such an important concept to understand. But I'm going to read you a definition that I wrote of context. Context is the construct that defines reality, where defines is both definition and meaning. Context creates the experience of life, including beginning and end and time and space, indeed existence itself. So what that means is that without context, we wouldn't know that we existed. And I like to use an example of a whiteboard to explain context. Imagine a whiteboard, a large whiteboard in front of the room, and the whiteboard represents everything. Now, I call everything, in contrast, often in Eastern philosophies, they call it nothingness. But when you live from the heart and experience yourself, you realize it's not nothingness, it's everything. So imagine the whiteboard is everything, yet defined, because everything is white. Imagine I take a highlighter, a marker, dry erase marker and I draw a circle in the middle of the board, all of a sudden, everything is not everything anymore because something has been defined, and that which is defined is the circle I drew on the board. And the circle has both two parts, the definition, which is the black outline of the circle, and it also has what's inside of the circle, which what we would call meaning. So by creating context, which is both in the definition where it defines as both definition and meaning, context creates not only that which is defined, but also gives the opportunity for something to have meaning. And by understanding that, you begin to realize that without context, that everything would be everything yet defined, so we wouldn't exist independent of some context which defines the experience of ourselves. In our group, we're doing an anthropological study that is helping to define this concept of context and how context is the hidden determinant of consciousness. And when you begin to understand context, and another common word for the term context is environment, but that's a much lower understanding of the concept, but you can begin to understand how one's environment shapes the experience of a person. Peggy, can you share a little bit about what context means to you?
Well, I'm going to go in just a little different direction, and David and I are context for all you listeners. We're here to show you what is available within yourself as you, if you are open to experiencing yourself in a drastically deeper, more honest way. And I want everyone to know you don't know how cool you really are, because our experience of ourself has only been through this lower consciousness aspect of ourself. It's kind of like watching black and white silent movies. You don't get any real feeling from it. And I'm here to tell you the experience you can give yourself is so much more than anything anyone else can give to you.
Can you repeat that again? That's pretty profound.
Well, the experience that you can give to yourself is so much more than anything anyone can give to you. And the reason for that is it's an internal or real experience played out externally. And till this journey, I had been living by taking external things and trying to make them internal experiences, but I couldn't feel what wasn't real or what wasn't me. I can only know myself through my experiences, and I am my experience. So now I want to talk about something no one really wants to hear about, and that is that everyone pretty much has the same perceived pain deep within us. It's just that some people are living in a much tougher environment or context, or some people feel the pain a lot more than others. And this is why positive or supporting context experienced at the depth we're talking about is so important to everyone.
Can you explain that in a little more detail?
Everything that we talk about is experienced totally different for me than how I used to experience it. It has a depth to it, so I know myself in good ways that I could never see before.
And deeper, meaning.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, so much deeper. I mean, I was only experiencing myself through my constructs before and thought they were real, So I didn't even know to go deeper. That was just too scary to even think about.
So what I hear you saying is that we are context for other people to know the depth that they can begin to experience life, because without the context of the living from the heart that we're sharing, people don't know that that depth within themselves exists.
Right.
So that's why context is so important, and why what we call context is the hidden determinant of human consciousness, that you have to have some contextual environment that allows you to know how deep you can go to into the experience of yourself. Without that context, you only know the contextual environment that you've given as the experience of yourself. So it's pretty a fascinating concept, because in the group that we've been working with, we're providing them with a contextual environment, which we call living from the heart. And because Peggy and I have the depth of our awareness, that we can teach other people to go deeper within themselves based upon the concepts that we're explaining to them. And that's why context is such a powerful concept to understand.
Well, and that's why the context of external value is so high right now. Everybody needs more stuff. Everybody needs more stuff to make them feel better.
And what do you mean by stuff?
Cars, houses, love, anything external of us.
That makes us feel better about the experience of ourselves.
Yes, yeah. But it's so fleeting because it's not us, and we can only really experience ourselves. So again, we're taking that external and trying to make it an internal experience.
What I wanted to do in this segment is try to see if we can make context a concept that people can say, wow, that's pretty cool. I want to know more and learn more about it. And I thought that if I could explain what's the benefit and what do you get out of understanding the concept of context. And what I decided that it's a good way to share it is to realize that context provides the opportunity for people to make fundamental changes that it can become transformative, because as I've talked about in the past, in a sense, our consciousness, as I told you, is fixed at birth. So what that means is that the experience of ourself is kind of like a trap. And until we can move beyond the consciousness that we experience ourselves, we can't see and solve our own problems, because we're caught in a trap that the mind doesn't allow us to escape. So the beauty of context, a contextual environment that allows you to outgrow or move beyond the consciousness of your current experience, allows you to see more deeply within yourself, so you can see the patterns and the habitual patterns that cause you to stay trapped within your experience, and you can see them in such of a depth that we've talked about in an earlier show, is that we can own them and let them go.
Well, and with context, if I'm walking into things that are in my best interest for my growth, I give myself different context to know myself.
That's interesting. Yeah. Fascinating how it works. One of the things I wanted to talk about in this segment to help you understand the concept of consciousness is a term called epigenetics. And epigenetics is quite a fascinating science. The definition of epigenetics involves genetic controls by factors other than an individual's DNA sequence. Epigenetics changes can switch genes on or off and determine which proteins are transcribed. I don't have a science background, and when I first tried to understand epigenetics, it was quite overwhelming, and I had to have one of the ladies in our group that have a science background explain it to me. But what it really means is really cool. Science is showing that DNA is not our destinies. that the discoveries in epigenetics as rewriting the rules of all of our diseases that are heredity and identity, which means that epigenetics says that our environment is what shapes the experience of ourself, and we're not locked in to our experience of self, which is our DNA, that the epigenetics means that their environmental factors can determine which aspect of the genes turned on and off based upon the environment. So that means if you have a disease, which is genetically based, but you're in a different environment, then epigenetics says that gene that has the expression that's causing the disease can actually be turned off.
I think maybe that's why when people have cancer or something, there are certain institutes that are much more successful. And I think they're much more supportive to those people. And I think that helps switch this off.
Quite fascinating.
Yeah.
To me, so the beauty of context in epigenetics, they call it, environment, is that we're not bound by our DNA, that whatever experience we have, whether it's our health and our hereditary, that we think that we're destined because it's in our genes or we've inherited some disease, what epigenetics means, it says, is no, that the environment can allow the gene that expresses itself into the disease or hereditary factors be turned, switched on and off. And to me, that's very empowering for us to know that if I put myself in the proper environment and give myself the experience that allows me to have the epigenetics to switch on and off my genes, that it's very powerful and quite transformative. That means I'm not stuck, that I always have the opportunity to change if I just change the environment that I'm experiencing.
Well, and our clinical study is proving that.
And tell me, how is that?
Well, people are outgrowing their diseases and they're becoming responsible, totally responsible for themselves.
So what we're realizing is that living from the heart is an environmental experience that's discussed in the concept of epigenetics that allows whatever gene expression that might have been expressing in a person to be turned off so that they can outgrow a disease that has been characterized by modern medicine as incurable. For example, a lady in our group that's in the clinical study has outgrown hypothyroidism, which is a disease that medical institution says that once you have to go on medication, you never get off it. But this lady has been off it for more than 6 months, and she takes no more pills, and her life is back to normal. And it goes on more and more. We have a lady that outgrew her hearing aid and can hear. And it goes on. It's amazing. It's not miracles. It's really understanding epigenetics, and that context is what we call allows people to rewrite the rules of disease, heredity, and our own self-identity.
This is Peggy and David sharing with you today about the transforming experience of living from the heart. We'll be right back after a short break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Do you or a loved one suffer from the debilitating experience of grief? The experience of grief may be one of the most misunderstood experiences of mankind. Grieffree.org is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to educate the public in a revolutionary grieving process called Healthy Grieving.
Traditional grieving processes are primarily used as support systems to help people cope with the painful experience of loss. The healthy grieving process is a healing system that deals directly and effectively with the underlying cause of grief. Unlike conventional grieving processes, which deal with the loss of the relationship, healthy grieving deals with the loss of one's self-identity. This radical shift in perspective allows individuals to make rapid and transformational changes that move them quickly through the grieving cycle into the experience of love and acceptance. Visit grieffree.org for more details and to learn how to take back your life from the painful experience of grief.
Join Patricia Raskin, the host of Positive Living on VoiceAmerica.com, Monday at 11 Pacific. This program brings you practical and inspiring principles for living a more authentic, engaging, and passionate life. Patricia's guests will give you a formula for connecting, giving, forgiving, and miraculous living. So tune in and call to Positive Living, Mondays at 11 Pacific time, right here on VoiceAmerica.com.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. You are listening to The Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. To connect with our program today, please call 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send any questions you may have in an email to peggy'sheart@q.com. Let's return to the avatars, Peggy and David, who have been sharing how our spiritual beliefs can inhibit our experience of living from the heart. Now get ready for more intriguing discussion on a radical new way of experiencing yourself and life.
Welcome back. This is Peggy and David, the hosts of the Avatars, ushering in a new beginning. Today, we're talking about context.
Thank you, Peggy. In this segment, we're going to talk about the belief of the week, which is the belief in life after death. This is a pretty big concept for people to, or belief for them to outgrow. And one of the things that we'd like to talk about on the show is that our spiritual and cultural beliefs inhibit the experience of living from the heart. And the quote I like to say is, I can only believe in myself when I don't believe in something other than myself. So the question to ask, well, what is it about life after death? If I believe in that, how does that limit the experience of myself and cause me not to allow myself to live from the heart?
Well, I see the problem with believing life after death is it becomes a backdoor. I don't have to commit fully to having a good relationship with the people in my life if I think I have another shot at it in heaven or in my next lifetime.
So it's that may be one example, and that's true for a lot of people. We may not realize it because that's such a deep level. But when you live from the heart, it really allows a person to be complete within themselves, and we have no lacking or want. So if I can live my life without lacking or wanting, then I become so fully engaged in life with it. When it comes time for me to die, there isn't any part of me that needs or expects or wants to have something more than what I've had, because I'm full and complete within myself. We have a caller that's come online. It's Maury from Denver, who's going to share her understanding of a life after death and the challenge that she's had. Maury, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, thank you for joining us today. We're talking about the belief in life after death, and I know you've struggled with this belief, letting go of this belief.
Struggling with it, yeah.
So could you share with our audience what's the struggle in letting go your belief in life after death?
Well, I think I have two big problems with it. One is that I've been on sort of a spiritual path since I was like 18 years old. So the belief that I have that this life is an evolutionary process and that we go through many lifetimes to learn and grow is like fundamental to my view of life, to how I see the meaning of life. You know, you were talking about context earlier in the show. That is the context of my life, that this is an evolutionary experience where, you know, like your soul evolves through lifetimes. So it's hard for me to let go of that idea because that's a belief I'm really identified with. And I think my other big issue is the idea that death ends all. I mean, I don't want to think that. I don't want to think that, like, when I die, that's it. I am far more comforted by the belief that some part of me, even if it's not my, like, quote, personality, if it's my, like, real self or my essence, like, I would much rather think that some part of me continues on than the sort of daunting idea that, like, death is it and death ends all and there's just nothingness. So I have two big issues with letting go of the idea that, like, this is it.
Well, Maury, listening,
there's not a life after death.
Listening to you talk, I understand why we're all moving so fast in this journey. If we think we have lifetimes to make it right, and all of a sudden we're not believing that anymore, we're changing. It's almost like we're taking all of the lifetimes we thought we had and doing the changes in this lifetime.
Yeah, I guess my question, if I'm being honest, is if life is not an evolutionary spiral, like if it's a one-shot deal and it's not this evolutionary sort of spiral that I'm so attached to believing, then, like, what is the purpose of life? What is the meaning of life if that's not it?
That's a great question, Maury. And it's perfect for our discussion today because living from the heart, when you move from the mind and the experience of an afterlife and come to living from the heart, you realize that that evolutionary process that you've discussed that we sometimes call reincarnation actually can happen in your own lifetime. That you don't have to wait for multiple lifetimes to experience the evolution to knowing the truth of who you are. It can actually happen in this lifetime. And when you know the truth of who you are and you've evolved into the most that you can be, then you realize that there isn't any need to have this evolutionary process anymore, and you outgrow the belief that there is life after death or that it's an evolutionary process.
And Maury, if before we started living from our hearts, if our living from our mind, our consciousness is fixed, we're really not evolving that much in this lifetime.
But that's a belief system that we have that somehow each lifetime we come back and we evolve more and more. I like to use the example of an oak tree. And some people, you know, like, well, there's a part of me that keeps going and evolves in the spirit. But if you think of an oak tree and its seed, that each acorn grows into an acorn tree,
an oak tree.
And when that oak tree dies, it ceases to exist, but it doesn't mean that there are other identical acorns that can grow into other oak trees. But what we want to believe is that somehow the seed that is us continues to reincarnate. But when you understand the concept of this oak tree and its seed, that it's possible to have the same seed that grows into the oak tree that when it dies, but there's many other seeds that can produce very, very, very similar, almost identical oak trees.
You know, it's funny. You would think that hearing you say that the evolution that I'm seeking in lifetime after lifetime can actually happen in this lifetime, and that I could be complete and fulfilled in this lifetime, you would think that I'd be happy to hear that and excited to hear that, but I'm actually having the opposite reaction. It's like really disorienting for me. Like, instead of that being good news, I'm kind of like, well, wait. Like, what does that mean then for like how I hold life and all of my beliefs and how I see myself and how I see experience? Like, it's a complete reorientation for me.
And that's the reason why that is, Maury, pardon me for interrupting, yeah, is because what you said very early on, you have a self-identity. Everything that you believe and know about yourself revolves around this concept that there's life after death. And one of the things we understand on this journey is that these self-identities are what causes us to experience ourself. And the experience of living from the heart is outgrowing and letting go of these self-identities so we can actually know the truth of the experience of ourselves. And that's why it's so disorientated, because who am I without my belief of life after the death? And that's like stepping
in. Central to me, not so much life after death, but that something continues on,
yes,
and evolves. But and you're right, that is so central to how I see myself and my life. I guess it's kind of like the tagline of your radio show, you know, like asking us to reexamine some deeply held spiritual beliefs that maybe stand in the way of our actual evolution. But, you know, this kind of shakes me up to think about really letting go of this belief, really sort of getting the finality of death and really getting like, no, this is my opportunity to grow and evolve and self-actualize. And, you know, the fantasy of continuing evolution, I mean, it's going to be a big thing for me to work to examine that belief and be willing to let it go.
Well, and Maury, as our awareness grows, I see life as giving me the opportunity to be the best I can be with all the important people and issues in my life. So I want to live this life as if it's my only one, whether it is or not. I guess.
Need more than this life to have a full experience.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because this actually does tie to your earlier topic of context, because this pretty radically would change the context of my life.
Yeah.
And that's why I often say living from the heart is not for the faint of heart. It's not a very gentle journey, because living from the heart forces us to look at these constructs and our beliefs in a deeper and more profound way, to see how they're inhibiting and limiting the experience of ourselves.
And I'm going to have to look at, like, why would I be so afraid to let this go? Like, why does it feel so fundamentally disorienting to me? I mean, it's just a belief. There are people who believe in heaven and hell, and people who believe in, you know, lots of different things. Why is it so sort of triggering and loaded for me to think about letting go of this belief and really be willing to look at what's under it and how it serves or doesn't serve me?
Maury, thank you so much for joining us today. It was very helpful, and it's nice that we had opportunity to share the dynamic of a challenge of a belief, because this is a very powerful one for many people, and
yeah,
you were very articulate in sharing the challenges you have in letting go of this belief.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Maury.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Peggy, can you share a little bit in the last couple of minutes your challenge of outgrowing this belief of life after death?
It's been a while since I struggled with that anymore. It's kind of hard to even think about it. I guess I did believe in the heaven thing, and that was comforting, but it makes life a lot more exciting and challenging to know I have one shot at it. And to me, it is more exciting now. And I change every day. I experience things every day. I'm not putting things on hold because I think it'll all be taken care of after I die.
It's an interesting shift in our awareness and consciousness that a lot of people don't quite understand how the belief in reincarnation at a very deep, deep level allows them not to be committed to life in such a way that they looking, it's a back door and out to say, well, if I don't get it this time, I can get it next time, or when I go to heaven, then I can have the experience. Now, remember that this doesn't mean that there is or isn't a heaven. It doesn't necessarily mean there is or is not reincarnation.
Right.
But you outgrow living from the heart, just like when we're children and we believe in the boogeyman. We outgrow that understanding, realize there isn't. But in living from the heart, one of the things we outgrow is the need to believe in life after death.
Thank you for joining us today. We enjoyed sharing with you the transforming experience of living from the heart. I hope you'll be joining us next week when we discuss commitment and why this concept is so important to the experience of living from the heart. And we're going to have a special guest, Ashley Cope, to share her experience of living from the heart and commitment. This is Peggy and David wishing you a nice day.
Thank you for joining Avatars Peggy Litt and David Cope as they share with you a new and expansive way of experiencing yourself and life. Don't miss next week's program as they introduce an amazing and transformative process that will cause you to rethink how you perceive and experience yourself and life. Please tune in again next Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Remember, living from the heart cannot be learned from a book, nor understood from the mind. It can only be experienced.